will be our last. It's not the last chapter, but it is in this series, because it begins with therefore. You might like to have it open on page 1139 of the Pew Bibles, but the chapter begins with therefore. All that has gone before, the previous 11 chapters, now Paul says, this is what happens next, therefore. And because of all that Paul has celebrated about the work of God in Christ in the previous 11 chapters, then this is how we are to respond. We are to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. We are to be transformed. We are to have honest, sober judgment about ourselves, not overestimating or underestimating how we are to respond or what we can do. We are to offer our gifts. We are to be devoted in love. This is the Christian life. This is how we are to live. And this summary of the Christian life may not sound very exciting. There's no mention here in these list of in Romans of supernatural gifts that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 of tongues and miraculous powers. That's not here. What we do have here is the essential. Of course, it is very good to seek the overt power of God in tongues and miraculous powers. Great. And probably we need to do more of it here in this church. But the dramatic cannot sustain us for the long haul of Christian faith. Only a deeply spiritual life can do that, rooted in profound appreciation of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. In this spiritual offering, the ordinary becomes extraordinary. The mundane becomes glorious. So if you'd like to follow, it is then on page 1139 of the Pew Bibles. Therefore, what has gone before? Paul's celebration of God's grace and mercy in Christ. Remember the pinnacle, the acclamations in chapter 8. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Nothing but nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And how you need to hear, we need to hear those resounding acclamations in the things that Hannah has told us today. Every time you turn on the news today, do you not need to hear those acclamations? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Nothing can separate us from his love in Christ. And chapter 11 ended with a wonderful doxology. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so the Christian life has to begin with that deep appreciation of the love of God in Christ. We have to go on living in such appreciation, not focused on ourselves, but on God. And this love for God and then receiving his love is what sustains us through the journey of Christian life. It is the fuel for our journey through this life. And of course, that means prayer. And of course, we keep saying week after week, year after year, prayer. But your prayer life needs to deepen. As you go on through your Christian life, you need to find deeper ways of praying. Do not be satisfied with the ways of praying of 5 years ago, because you need to go deeper into the appreciation and love of the mercy and grace of Christ. If you are a reader, you need to read books about the Christian faith that will broaden your view of its amazing profundity. And these are just simple acts of prayer and study, and they may seem mundane, but continually offered to God, life begins to glow with transcendence. As you deepen in appreciation of love of God, you will then, as you experience God in your daily life, even in the mundane, the ordinary becoming extraordinary, you will want others to know, and you will want to serve him. You will want to serve God. And so Paul says in those opening verses, in response to this, of living in appreciation of God's grace and mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Nothing less than that. Offer your whole self as a living sacrifice to God. The Christian life from beginning to end requires that commitment and sacrifice. And then to go on reflecting, how do we offer our bodies to God? In the words of John Stott, if we make such offering of ourselves, such sacrifice, our feet will walk in his paths, our lips will speak the truth and spread the gospel, our tongues will bring healing, our hands will lift up those who have fallen, and perform many mundane tasks like cooking, cleaning, typing, and mending. Our arms will embrace the lonely and the unloved. Our ears will listen to the cries of the distressed, and our eyes will look humbly and patiently towards God. This, to make such offering of ourselves, Paul tells us, is truly our spiritual act of worship. Yes, you need to be here. We need to be here Sunday by Sunday in worship. But the true worship that we give is day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, offering ourselves over to God, offering our whole self as a sacrifice, giving ourselves to God. And then Paul tells us, verse 2, you cannot be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but you are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We know, and we will all be influenced, we will all want to adopt these things in our lives because they are the mores and the values of the world. It's about externals. There will be something in us that wants success. There will be something that pressurizes us to fit in. There will be a desire for money. There will be a want of ease. There will be a longing to please ourselves because they are the influences of the world around us. But we are not to be conformed. The Christian life is about service, faithfulness, commitment, perseverance. And amongst all of those influences around us, covert and overt, we have to constantly reappraise and think through, deliberately, purposefully applying our minds, renewing them in God's truth. And the goal, of course, is to be transformed. And as Paul tells us elsewhere, changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ from one degree of glory to another, 2 Corinthians there. And a few weeks ago, when we celebrated the Transfiguration, we noted that the word transfiguration is the same as transformed. It's the same word. As we do this, as we day by day apply our minds to being transformed into the likeness of Christ, we have a touch of heaven, a dimension of heaven, of transfiguration. That is how we will experience it, by being transformed and being that dimension of heaven comes to us. Then Paul tells us in verse 3, think of yourself with sober judgment, an honest, humble recognition of who we are, our gifts and talents, and our limitations. We are not here to save the world. That's God's job. Thank God to him. We don't have to force God's hand or pressure him to act amongst us. He will act as he will and do. He is saving the world. So a sober judgment about what we can do and who we are. But all of us can simply offer our gifts. And that is what we are required to do, to offer our gifts in the small things. Paul goes on to talk about this in verses 6 to 8. Recognize the gifts you have and simply offer them. And again, these are not apparently glorious, exciting, supernatural gifts. There's not tongues or miraculous powers mentioned here. They are important, but they're not central to Paul's passage here about what it means to live the Christian life. He instead talks about gifts that are essential for our humanity, to help others and be fulfilled in ourselves. The gifts there are listed: serving, teaching, encouraging, financial giving, leadership, showing mercy. Again, have sober judgment about what gifts you have, of who you are. If you do not have the gifts for leadership or teaching, that's absolutely fine. There is plenty that you can bring. But my guess is also that God has given far more gifts in teaching and leading than are currently being used in his church, and certainly in the Church of England. My guess is there are far more gifts of teaching and leading out there that have not been soberly reflected on and offered to God for his service. A vicar colleague of mine said to me recently, she sees a challenge in her church of long-standing Christians who basically have become a bit bored. They've heard the sermons, they've done the courses, they've been to festivals, and now what? And what actually needed to happen was that some years ago, and it may not be too late now, is to offer themselves in gifts of teaching and leading. And you may like to ask yourself, if you're not in that position, why not? What happened in the past? What stopped you moving up, moving into those positions? It may not be for you. It will be a minority, but it's a far bigger minority than the Church of England currently experiences. There should not be a shortage of clergy in the Church of England. There are enough gifts out there for that God has given if people soberly reflected on what you have been given in Him. And then above all, verses 9 to 16, Paul tells us to love. Be devoted, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, honour one another above yourselves. Be zealous, not fanatical, but enthusiastic, dedicated. Be patient and faithful, be generous, practice hospitality, be humble. These are the glorious riches of the Christian life, received by offering ourselves as living sacrifices, being transformed into the likeness of Christ, offering our gifts in His service, being committed in love. They may not, I'll say it again one more time, but sound very exciting. Although if you think and reflect about them, they will be, they are. Because if you offer yourself in this way, indeed, the ordinary becomes extraordinary, suffused by the presence of God, knowing His purposes for your life. Amen.